We're rolling, boys and girls.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black. Why you never see bright colors on my back.
Johnny Cash is the voice of America. For 50 years, he's been singing about cars and trains, cowboys and Indians, sin and redemption, burning love, and love burning out. Cash's 70th birthday this year was a milestone marked by the release of compilation recordings by other artists. Awarded the Kennedy Center Honors and a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the Songwriters Hall of Fame, Cash has every excuse to coast, or at least go fishing. Instead, he's plugging a new CD and making plans for more. In the cabin he uses for a recording studio on his property in Tennessee, Johnny Cash recalled the first songs he did for Sun Records in the 1950s, backed by Luther Perkins and Marshall Grant.
We were just a plain old hillbilly band with a plain old country style.
These were two mechanics that worked at a garage called Automobile Sales in Memphis. When I moved to Memphis after I got out of the Air Force, I met them. And we started going to each other's house at night and playing music just for the fun of it. And at one point, we were invited to play at a church, and we went and played at a church in North Memphis. And it felt good, so we said, let's do some more shows. So we started playing shows around Memphis in the Mid-South. We'd rent a movie theater, and we'd get made a deal with the manager of the theater. We'd get part of the money that came in at the door, and they'd have our show in the movie.
Played jumpin' jive to make them get in a groove. We played sad songs real slow and smooth, but the only thing that'd make them move was hooey. When Luther played the boogie-woogie, Luther played the boogie-woogie, Luther played the boogie-woogie, Luther played the boogie-woogie.
I wanted to ask you about the sound, the distinctive sound of the band, which I guess has a lot to do with what Luther Perkins knew how to play on a guitar.
Mm-hmm. Well, Luther had an old Fender Telecaster guitar that didn't have a butt plate that protected his hand from the strings. And he laid the heel of his hand on the strings as he played the rhythm. And that gave him that muted, muffled sound that became so identifying with me. And Marshall Grant played the upright slap bass with a snare drum side effect on it, and that was my sound.
Is it true that when you told Sam Phillips you wanted to do gospel, he told you to go out and sin first?
No.
That's how he tells it.
No. That's the first time I've ever heard that. Never heard that before. No, Sam Phillips would not have done that. Sam told me very kindly, he said, I don't know. We don't know how to sell gospel music in this business that we're in, the record business that we're in. He had recorded a lot of what they called a lot of race music, mainly black blues and rock and roll, or rock, as we'd call it today, it would be rock and roll. But Sam told me that that we couldn't sell gospel music, therefore he couldn't stay in business. So I understood that. So I said, well, I write other things. I sing other things too. So he said, well, give me a call. We'll set something up.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
The first big hit, I Walk the Line, established Cash as a performer who didn't quite fit the mold of traditional country or the new crowd, the rock and rollers. Folk, maybe. Or perhaps a category uniquely his own, called Cash. The next hit was Ring of Fire, co-written by June Carter, who would become June Carter Cash.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
You're hard to categorize. You've been elusive. I mean, you're a veteran, but you've never wrapped yourself in the flag in any kind of jingoistic patriotism. You've been a crime victim, and here you speak for prisoners.
You're all over the place, you know what I mean? Is that a conscious thing, or is that just...
Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it is a conscious thing to be all over the place. A person of my position, situation, is in a position of responsibility, for one thing, to answer the call for those who need a voice. I'm not saying that I'm the noble man to jump up and rally to the call, but sometimes I can remember to.
Well, for example, the prison thing. I mean, you've not done hard time yourself.
And no.
You've gone to prisons and done concerts there that have been groundbreaking events.
When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Well, my whole thing about recording in prisons was because I thought it would make an interesting record. I heard that sound of that audience applauding me in a prison in 1957. And I told my band that day, I said, we got to record a show at a prison and get that audience response on record. So then the prison grapevine, word got around that I was one of them because I sang all these prison songs. And I stood out in the rain when the amplifier went out and yelled my songs out at the top of my voice. And they let the men come down out of the bleachers, and they had never done that before, to get close to me so that they could hear me. Well, as it turned out, the first prison we recorded in was Folsom Prison.
And that was years after you'd written Folsom Prison Blues, right?
Oh, yeah. That was 68. I wrote Folsom Prison Blues in 55.
Well, if they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
We certainly got that reaction from the prisoners, too. That was very evident.
Yeah.
Well, then you went to San Quentin and did one there, and Merle Haggard was in the front row.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was there until he told me after he got out that he had been in prison and on the front row at my concerts at 3 different years. I said, 3 years? Damn, you're a hard time ranger, man. He said, you're right, I was.
On a Wednesday, I'm down in solitary. On a Thursday, I start on bread and water for a while. I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. I got chains, chained around my feet.
Tomorrow, Johnny Cash talks about Queen Elizabeth, the Book of Revelation, and singing a new generation of songs.
If the songs are really great, if the writer is good, if the song is really there, if I like it, if I feel like I can do it and make it my song and enjoy it myself, then it's going to be mine.
One love, one blood, one life. You've got to do what you should. One life with each other.